Sportsnet 960 The Fan is CFAC 960 AM Calgary, a Rogers Sports and Media radio station. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Into hour number two, happy game day, Flames, Oilers, Battle of Alberta, game two from the Scotiabank Saddledome this evening. It should be awesome. I don't know if we'll get 15 goals. In fact, I would be surprised if we got 15 goals this evening, but nonetheless, should be a pretty awesome atmosphere on a Friday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And what a better way to kick off your May long weekend with a little Flames and Oilers action in game two of the series. Calgary leads the series 1-0. And of course, we'll have all the action for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You can also watch it tonight on Sportsnet and CBC. Let's kick off hour number two. It's Will Nault and Logan Gordon along with you down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar head guest hotline we go. Welcome in our friend, our pal, our buddy, the man who makes all the typos on the internet. He is Jordan Tamayama. Jordan, how are you, sir? Happy Friday.
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm curious in terms of what you've been doing, how many screens you've got up in your place. There's a lot happening in the sports world, and I know that you're dialed in on all of it, mostly to keep up with your degenerate gambling habits. But I'm curious in terms of your setup here, as it's a pretty good time to be a sports fan right now.
Yeah, I've actually been way too busy with coaching. Like, this will be actually the first Flames game I think I watched start to finish, I think. Because all my practicing games have been like that 8:30 time slot, so kind of when the Flames are. So I'm pretty excited to actually watch a full game. But yeah, it's been with the NBA conference finals. And then, yeah, I've got the PGA Championship up right now. Yeah, it's best time of the year for sure. So I'm excited for the Flames game, because last game was insane. So hopefully it's somewhat similar, even though I don't expect it to be like from 1980. So, but I hope it is, because that'll make it a lot more fun. And I get to see Pinder's tweets about Mike Smith. So I hope it continues tonight.
Now, curious, first of all, you're sounding a little hoarse. You've been yelling at referees. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think I'm battling some. I was yelling a lot in Edmonton, and then we've had 10 straight days of basketball. So
the refs are just trying to do their job, Jordan. I don't think you should be yelling.
they've told me that a couple times, but battling a little bit, yelling. No, my bench did though, so I got the technical, and the ref told me it was my fault. So I guess I was a credited one, but the refs weren't mad at me, but they said it was my fault. So
I'll evaluate the tape and make that decision. But.
Yeah.
All joking aside, in terms of a gambling perspective on this game, and certainly if you are gambling, be safe, but and know your limits. But if you're looking at this game tonight, 15 goals on Wednesday. I have not checked today, and I'm putting you a little bit on the spot, but in terms of the over-under for goals tonight, I know a lot of people made reference to the fact that almost every regular season game, and you go back to the year, they averaged 8 goals, these two teams, in every game they met. But after how chaotic game one was, you know both coaches are dialing things back. As I look right now, the over-under at 6.5. Or is it still safe to play the over, or would you be a little cautious? And I know people don't like to, you know, the old saying is never bet the under, because who wants to see defense? You want to always see goals. But at 6.5, like, where would you be leaning on this one tonight?
Yeah, I'd probably maybe go the over. I guess I trust Jacob Markstrom, but Mike Smith has been such a wild card, even kind of in that LA series. It was he's really good, really bad. Markstrom's been usually really good, but the Flames, they've shown that they can have that offensive firepower if you give them chances. So over 6.5 at -115, I wouldn't mind that. And also, you can also get a cheer, obviously, for more goals. But even if you look at maybe like the team total, if the Flames are at like around 3 or 2.5, 3.5, then I'd probably maybe even go that way. But just the fact that there are so many goals, and I think it's obviously going to be way more wide open than the Stars and Flames were. So if you were going to go anything, I'd probably go the over. Partially because of the goaltending, and it's also way more fun to cheer for the over. But even if like if it's an in play and if there's like two quick goals or something in the first period and like the over under is at like 10, then maybe you can like look at the under just to kind of take advantage of the in play. But for this series and this game, I'd probably go just the over at 6.5.
Well, and for this game tonight, you're looking at a couple of player props, both on Calgary's side. Let's start with Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, his shot total is at 3.5 at minus 110, sorry. He has over 3.5 shots in 5 of the last 6 games, and he has 14 shots in the last 2 games. And just from watching him over the years, he shoots from all angles, whether it be behind the net, in front of the net, doesn't really matter. He just fires it on. And if there's a lot of power plays, he'll see even more time. And have chances to shoot it. So over 3.5 and -110. If you bet $20, you basically get your money back. So I really like that. And then Rasmus Anderson over 0.5 points at +120. He had 3 points last game. Quarterback's the power play. So even more chances for him to get an assist or a goal. And especially if the Oilers are sloppy in transition, then he can join the rush and get chances that way. So over 3.5 shots and then over 0.5 points for Rasmus Anderson.
So there's your look at the Calgary Flame player props for tonight. 8:30 start is the scheduled time. It's probably going to be closer to 8:45 tonight for the Flames and the Oilers. Again, you can watch that on Sportsnet and CBC. There is Jordy's picks for the Flames and a little bit of thoughts on the Flames Oilers over under as well at 6.5 going into tonight. And then you've got a game pick, Rangers and Hurricanes. Rangers trying to even the series at 1 apiece. Game 2 of that series tonight at 6. And sounds like you are leaning towards the road team this evening, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rangers at +1.0. Heat +1.0 at -135. If you bet that, they can lose in overtime. So I think they'll rebound after last game. They're winning for 58 minutes, and then the Hurricanes scored a late one, and then they won in overtime. So they're 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 games against the Hurricanes. And I expect Shesterkin to prove that should be in that conversation for MVP. And you always need your goalie to steal one game. So if there's a game that needs to be stolen, I'd go with this one. So I like the range of that +1.0. Just because they can win or they can lose in overtime. So I'll go with that for this matchup.
So there you go. He's got the Rangers Rangers +1 against the Carolina Hurricanes this evening, which means, as Jordan just talked about, they can lose in overtime. It was only a 1-goal spread, so we're not talking about anything crazy, but those last-minute goals, like if you were betting on Tampa and Florida last night, that was quite a finish.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, I was just following on my phone, and then some people in my group chat that I'm friends with, they just all started typing lightning, and I was like, oh, something happened. And I checked on the score app, and it was, 4 seconds or whatever, 1 point they scored. But, the Lightning are just proving why they're 2-time Stanley Cup champs. And I don't know if you saw that montage that Friedman posted of, like, all the times the Lightning had to go to the – back to the tunnel or get cleaned up, but shows that the hockey playoffs are probably the most grueling and hard on just everyone's bodies. But if you're there's no team that you don't want to face right now. The Lightning, they got by the Leafs, and maybe that's what they need, a little boost from getting that win. But they're such a dangerous team, so many talented players that they're very hard to bet against, and probably the most dangerous team in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, and I mean, to get that win with the amount of time left on the clock, to not have to go to overtime and slip through an intermission, and now, obviously, in a very, very good spot going back home, leading 2-0 over Florida, and the Panthers now faced with the almost impossible task of winning 4 of the next 5 games to get past and knock off the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Away from hockey, Jordan Tomiyama is our guest. He joins us every Friday with his best bets. We head into the May long weekend. You've also got some thoughts on the NBA playoffs. Just quickly overall on the NBA's Final Four, like on paper, I don't know if it was the Final Four we had going in, if this is what you were predicting, but it's been a pretty good in terms of, you know, the only unfortunate thing about the NBA playoffs is how many stars have been injured. But overall, these 4 teams that are left, like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, like Warriors, obviously they're proven champions. They got Steph. They kind of got their big 3 back. And then there's kind of been some new blood too, which is cool, with the Mavericks and Luka Doncic. It's kind of a one-man show And then on the East, you have the Heat and Celtics. And the Celtics were really bad at the beginning of the year. And then Jaylen Brown and Tatum kind of figured out how they should play together. And they're proving to be one of the most dangerous teams, knocking off the Bucks, who are defending champs. And then the Heat, who just kind of seem to always be there. But it kind of sucks that Kyle Lowry's been banged up and he's not playing. But it's nice to see just a different array of teams. And the Warriors, Mavericks, hopefully it goes long, but I don't know if they'll be able to withstand the Warriors' depth and to stop Steph. But yeah, I think it's kind of new to have a little bit of new blood. I thought the Suns were going to be in there, but they got destroyed in Game 7. So yeah, it's been really fun to kind of see new blood. And I think Warriors match are more entertaining than the Heat Celtics. But yeah, it's been cool to see just a different array of teams and different stars getting their chance to be on the main spotlight.
Of course, always bet against Chris Paul in the playoffs. That is, that's the motto, right? I
mean, yeah.
Your team, you're not going to win.
Yeah, he's basically the Leafs if he were there, a team in the NBA. Just heartbreaking losses after year, but I saw something that their title window may be closed, like the Suns, but if they can bring back Ayton and maybe get one more year out of Chris Paul, then I think they'll be okay. But yeah, Chris Paul has just had a torture every time he makes the playoffs.
And speaking of this game, Warriors and Mavericks, you've got your eyes that you'd think that, you know, maybe you're going with a big player and one of the big superstars, but you got a player prop and it's on the Dallas side. It's not Luka. You're going with Spencer Dinwiddie tonight.
Yeah, over 12.5 points at -120. He's scored over 12.5 in three straight games. He's kind of the closest thing the Mavs have to a second option or a guy who can create his own bucket or score off the dribble. So I'm going with him. He's knocked down at least three-pointers in three straight games. And during the season, he averaged 15.8 points per game. So Luka will get his buckets, but Spencer Dinwiddie is a very viable option to just come and kind of be the microwave-type offense. So I'll go with Dinwiddie over 12.5 points.
And, of course, he's working hard for that big $1 bonus, right? I mean, he's got a...
Yeah, he's had a weird money history.
Did you see that story?
I did. And then he had a weird, it was like a crypto, like he wanted his money in crypto and he tried to get it like crowdfunded so that people would like crowdfund his salary and then he'd pay it back in crypto. And then people ended up donating like $1,000. So he had to cancel his crowdfunding thing. He's a weird cat off the court, but yeah, I saw that $1 bonus and I don't know if he's just trying to be funny or, but yeah, that's a weird story. Because if they actually win, that'd be pretty funny to see it paid out in his bank account, just a $1 from Mark Cuban.
Yeah, it's like the $20 signing bonus for Sebastian Aho, Jesperi Kotkaniemi. He got a $20 signing bonus from the Carolina Hurricanes because that was the number Aho wore, and of course that big war going back with offer sheets. It's always funny when you get the weird language in contracts like that. Just, I guess, before we let you go, just thoughts overall in terms of, you know, if you had to pick right now, who's going to meet in the NBA Finals, where are you leaning?
I'm going Warriors and Celtics because I think they're more healthy than the Heat. But
And you hate Jimmy Butler.
No, I don't mind. I actually don't like the Celtics. Jimmy Butler, he's kind of annoying, but he does all that. I work really hard. I get up at 2 a.m. to shoot baskets, stuff like that. Just, like, I don't know. He kind of rubs me off the wrong way, but I like Steph. I like that team. And then I think the Celtics are more healthy. So, but I did have a question for you about the Leafs. Uh-oh. Do you think they should actually run it back? Because, like, what are they running back? Another first-round exit?
But I just
don't get it.
I made the mistake saying the Flames shouldn't run it back, and look what's happened. So, I think that you've got to sometimes you want to make the brash moves and you want to blow it all up and take the TNT and blow it all to smithereens. But I think Toronto's got a lot to like there. I don't love in terms of the aging of like a guy like Tavares. Like I certainly would like to spend that $11 million elsewhere. I didn't like that contract when it was signed, and I think now as the years go on, you'd love to be able to spread some of that money around. But in terms of big picture for Toronto, I mean, like, yeah, it sucks they keep losing in round one, but What are you going to do when you're the goalie you're facing in round one is an absolute brick wall in game six and game seven? I mean, they had a 3-2 series lead. I don't think they really choked it away. I just think that, you know, the Lightning kind of stole it, and Vasilevsky was unbelievable. So they're kind of in a dangerous spot. Like, I think there's a lot to like about their team. I think it's dangerous if you go and start trading a bunch of pieces, because I don't think they're in a spot where, you know, you should be blowing it up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I just, like, I've said for, like, the past couple years that that team is, it's almost impossible to improve just with how much money is it with those four players. Like, they can't keep getting Spezza and how well he plays for, what, minimum salary? Like, it's tough to fill your lineup with guys like that and consistently win, and goaltending, too.
Yeah, and how much longer can you expect Spezza to do it, right? He's closing in on age 40, so... you keep signing that guy to the same contract. Eventually, he's not going to give you the same production either.
Yeah, and I think if they do get past, I think it could be similar to like a Capitals situation where like they just need to get past the Penguins or the first round, and then they'll have that off their back. But yeah, I think that's just a very interesting story for the rest of the season, or their offseason for sure.
Yeah, should be fun. I think they're going to make a couple of trades, but I don't think that they should be blowing it up by any means, because I do think there's a lot to like. And the other thing, too, is you can't control the playoff format. Like, it sucks they got to play these great teams every single year in round one. I know that it's the same for everybody, but that division and that conference, I mean, all eight playoff teams had 100-plus points. I mean, it's crappy that that's the situation, but the playoff format's led to some of their downfall too, I think.
Good for sports talk radio, though. That's for sure.
It is great for that. It's great for spelling errors and typos on the website. Jordan, take care, man. Have a great weekend. Stop yelling at referees. They're just young kids trying to do their job. So be nice to them, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
He's Jordan Tamayama joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 13-time Consumer Choice Award winners. Check them out tonight for Dine In at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or of course, call them anytime for takeout and delivery, 403-248-3344. Logo Red Lot closed again tonight. Like, what's the game plan for you? Are you heading to the Dome? What's going on?
Yeah, I figure I should go in the Dome tonight after...
Attaboy.
Tried to go to the Red Lot on game one. Didn't happen. But
so you're sitting right beside Brady Tkachuk. That's what you're doing tonight?
Oh, yeah. Me and Brady are total buds.
You guys are both members of the Budweiser Canada team now, so.
Well, I think his is more official than mine.
You're like, just.
I don't know that Budweiser.
You just give Budweiser Canada a lot of money.
That's I don't know that they would know that I'm a fan of their product, but like they know Brady is. But
they don't pay you to drink, is what you're saying.
No, it's not quite the same deal. I'm working on it, but maybe one day.
Well, start submitting videos of you, and maybe just one day you'll get signed to the same deal. For those that are wondering what we're talking about, Brady Tkachuk today signing with Budweiser Canada. They're obviously fans of what he's been doing at the Scotiabank Saddledome, and Brady Tkachuk has tweeted out already confirming the news. He's fired up to be a part of Budweiser Canada. He is signed, sealed, and delivered. He'll be in the lower bowl again tonight with his family. And no plans for him to start slowing down. Did you see, what is it? Boomers coined him as Bronk, is it? Combining him and Gronkowski.
I think that's fair.
Bronk now, I think.
Yeah,
is his name.
I believe that's what's been coined by the morning show. And
there you go.
I think it Bronk fits perfectly. Yeah.
As will Logan. And what a better way to kick off the May-long weekend. Some Flames and Oilers action at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Some more playoff conversation, a little bit of a league-wide look, and maybe some stories as well. Mike Rupp joins the show next. Big show rolls on in hour two, live on a game day. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Welcome back. Hour two rolls on. Game day. Flames, Oilers from the Saddledome tonight. 8:30 puck drop. All the action, of course, right here on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch it this evening on Sportsnet and CBC. My name is Will Nault alongside Logan Gordon. Right now, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. You know him, you love him, as former NHLer and Stanley Cup winner Mike Rupp, now as a host on NHL Network and an analyst with NHL Network. He joins us right now on the program. Mike, thanks for doing this, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. No problem at all. Well, I guess we were talking about this a little bit last hour, and I'm curious for you as a guy who is on the eastern part of the continent. There's a lot of people talking online that, you know, you got your game's biggest star in Connor McDavid in the second round for just the second time in his career. And puck drop for this thing tonight, Mike, is not till about 10:45 Eastern. Is the NHL doing themselves a disservice? I know that hockey and, you know, television is number one. They don't want to have two games on at the same time, but unless you're a hockey diehard, like, not a lot of people on the East Coast are going to be watching this thing tonight.
No, that's a great point. You know, I think that it's something as this league gets more and more stars. I think we've been seeing more and more of the quote unquote kind of, you know, universally marketable guys. I mean, for a long time it was, and it still is to some degree, Sid and Ovi's league. Right. And now you've got Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Leon Draisaitl, I mean, Nathan McKinnon, you got a lot of others. And I think you need to find a way to get it more accessible for fans across the whole continent to watch it. So I agree. I mean, it's a late. Hey, I'm on the late schedule with the network tonight, so I'll be Red Bull in hand watching the entire thing. But not everybody is able to do that, right? So it's going to be. It's unfortunate that it's that late at night, but I don't know. Like, what do you on weekdays? Today being Friday is a little bit of an exception, but I don't know. I don't know what you do about that. You know, I think you need to try to maximize eyes, especially on generational talents, and that's how you're going to grow the league. And I'd like to see some of that stuff change for the future.
Now, of course, when the league does get to the final four, like rounds 3 and 4, all games are 8 o'clock Eastern. So you do get a little bit better there. But yeah, it's just one of those things that's really unfortunate. But it is Friday. Hopefully some people do stay up because this series has been wild. And I was joking actually with Logan a little bit off the air yesterday. I saw you were on, of course, for those that don't know, you do have a hockey podcast with the Pat McAfee Network and the guys over there. And you were on his program yesterday. And, of course, Pat McAfee is a superstar down there in the United States. And when Mike Rupp is talking about Harvey the Hound and Battle of Alberta on McAfee's show, you know you've made it. So, you know, that I thought that was pretty cool. And you know, certainly for this series in particular, to be on the main network on ESPN, like, it is big time. But what did you make of Game 1 where we saw a 9-6 outcome?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the thing with going on, whether it's Pat McAfee or anything stateside, the diehard fans, they understand, they know what the Battle of Alberta means. This is one of them. That goes off what you were saying before too, even with just the names that are in that series, just the matchup in general and how good this series, I believe, is and is going to be. You know, that's enough right there. I just wanted, like, some casual fans to know, like, hey, tune into this. Like, you know, if you're going to watch hockey, watch this one. You know what I mean? And I find that this has been a kind of a strange read for me on Calgary, but I've had this kind of strange read with a bunch of teams in the playoffs so far, because that first series, I understand Jay Gottinger was unbelievable to keep Dallas in this and to keep it in that series to go seven games. And then you come out and I'm like, all right, now it's time. I want to start seeing Calgary be Calgary. And then it's 9-6. And I'm like, I don't even know what I just watched. I don't know what happened here, but a win is a win. And we see Tampa doing it. I mean, Tampa's up 2-0 on Florida. Tampa got outplayed by Toronto in round one. And I think the bigger thing is you just find ways to win. And you bank those wins when you can. We know it costs 16 to win the cup. And you try to get better each game. So I don't know if Calgary's playing their best brand of hockey right now. Actually, I feel pretty strongly that they're not playing their best brand, but they're finding ways. And I expect them to be a little more Calgary Flame-like in game two and kind of lock it down a little bit more than they did in game one.
Of course, playoffs are where a lot of players do make their name. And for those maybe that haven't been as tuned in, you maybe are watching or finding really how good Connor McDavid is for the first time. Mike, has he found another level in these playoffs? It's kind of crazy to think for a guy who's already got a 500-point seasons and almost 700 points at age 25, we're saying he's found another level. But 18 points in 8 playoff games, I believe 7 of 8 have been multi-point games in these playoffs. He had 4 points in that 9-6 loss on Wednesday. Like, are we seeing the best version right now of Connor McDavid?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how much more he's doing as far as he's always been putting up points, like you mentioned. So he's always been able to do that and drive offense and clearly lead the Edmonton Oilers. But I find that what is a little bit different this year is that it's the timing of it all. And the way that he played in that first round against the LA Kings, he's kind of grabbing his teammates by the scruff and pulling them along. And so you can get – he's always going to get points, but he's getting points at a time where the team is in dire need for someone to grab a hold of things. And I think that's what makes players makes great players superstars, is the ability to rise to the occasion and play bigger when the game is bigger. And I think that that's something that Connor's done a really good job of, is everybody's looking when the Oilers have been kind of fumbling at different times in these playoffs. And even in that game one, when they're down and they're down pretty big, everyone's looking for Connor to do something. And that's easier said than done. And he's doing it though. And that's, it's equivalent to me. Like, I grew up being an NBA fan. Everybody knew Michael Jordan's going to get the last shot. What made Michael Jordan great? Was it that he averaged over 30 points a season? Yeah, it made him really good. But what made him great is everybody knew he's going to get that last shot, and he still buried it. And I think that that's what we're kind of seeing here with Connor. Like, he's understanding, and he is just absolutely willing this team back into games, to win games. And I think that's something that's at a little bit of a different level than what we've seen from him in the past.
He is Mike Rupp of the NHL Network, former NHLer and a Stanley Cup winner, our guest on the big show here on Sportsnet 960. Logan.
Mike, thanks for doing this, man. Really looking forward to chatting. I was just curious. I imagine back in your playing days, you'd feel right at home in a Battle of Alberta playoff series, hey?
Oh, I would have loved it. You know, it's funny. I was a free agent in 2011 offseason, and I was coming off my best 2 years playing in Pittsburgh, and I was a fourth liner that can get you whatever, double digit goals, and did some different things that there, as far as the comps that year, there wasn't a ton of comps for me on the market. And so I remember I just had a lot of teams. It was flattering because I wasn't a player that normally garnered that kind of attention, but for free agency, I started getting a lot of attention. I remember talking to the Oilers, and I remember talking to Bob Stauffer about this all the time, where it's like, I was talking to the Oilers, and literally the pitch to me was, Kevin Lowe said, here's the way we see you. You're going to be a third, fourth line guy. But then when we go into Calgary and play, you're going to go play with Halsey. And you're going to make some space for him. And for me, that was, again, I'm not trying to come down on Edmonton. The Edmonton team was really bad at that time.
Yeah.
But that was like a huge selling point to me. That's like what makes me start get goosebumps thinking about it. Cause I'm like, I would love to be in a series like that. When you have physical series, there's more to it. You got to obviously score goals. You got to play the right way. You got to be controlled emotionally. But that kind of situation, it gives a platform for guys like me, bigger players that weren't as skilled. And I loved it. I would have been right at home and would have loved to be in that battle on either side, really.
I guess that partly answers my next one for you, because I was curious, the biggest difference I saw in game one between Calgary and Edmonton was Calgary's ability to jump 2 feet into a physical style of play, make life difficult on Connor. And they've never really shied away from that style of play. So I guess for you, Mike, you'd probably still see value in playing that kind of way, but also having guys like Milan Lucic at this point in his career, Brett Ritchie and Erika Branson, who go about it the right way, but aren't afraid to get involved in that style of playing a long playoff series.
Yeah, and I think that because there's always that hot topic where people are saying the game has changed, the one thing that has never changed is you have to be adaptable to play any way, right? So let's look at Calgary for an example. What we know about them, they've got those guys you just mentioned. They're a tough-nosed group. They're coached the right way. They're going to all play hard. But they also have a couple hundred-point guys. You know, they got a guy up for the Selke. They've got a goaltender that's in the as a Vezina finalist. like they've got a lot of really good things in place where, hey, if you want to, if we need to score nine, we'll score nine. If we want to, if we need to keep, if we're only going to score two and we want to slug it out and play in the trenches, that's fine too. And I think that that's something that they have going for them. And on the flip side with the Edmonton Oilers, I found it kind of concerning, not concerning. I think he's probably just trying to say the right things. But when you look at the build of Edmonton, I mean, Evander Kane and to the media, I believe it was this morning, was saying, well, you know, if they're going to go after our top guys, we're going to go after theirs. And I think that that's a right way of approaching it. But at the same time, when I look at this Oilers lineup, the only guys that are going to go after the top guys that have that kind of in their DNA is their best defenseman, Darnell Nurse, who's already banged up, and Evander Kane, who leads them in goals. Like, that's where there's a problem. These guys have bigger things on their plate than getting involved in those kind of things. This is where Calgary has that advantage. They've got guys in their lineup that can do solely those things. And then they have another group of guys who can do all the other things and put the puck in the net, you know, get on the power play, convert. So I find that this is a matchup. I don't know if Edmonton wants to go down that road. I don't know. I mean, you're kind of playing in the Calgary's hands, and I think that's right where the Flames want you.
Away from the Calgary-Edmonton series, your former team, the New York Rangers, into the second round. They dropped game one against the Carolina Hurricanes. Shesterkin has had his moments, hasn't looked quite as good as he did in the regular season, but what are you seeing from the Blue Shirts, Mike? What do they need to do to bounce back in game two tonight?
Well, game one against Carolina was far better than any game they had against Pittsburgh. And so that's just one of those things I said off the top where it's kind of hard getting a gauge on really seeing who's playing well and who's not, because I think the Rangers were outplayed in round one, but they were very opportunistic. They took advantage of opportunities. Pittsburgh was unable to close out games, and they survived, right? I think Igor Shesterkin is just going to keep getting better. I thought they were really, really strong the first two periods in game one, controlled play a lot, but then Carolina did what Carolina does. They just started coming in waves, and that's how the team's built. That third period was an absolute onslaught by Carolina, and the game goes overtime. It's a tough loss anytime you lose in overtime, but I think the Rangers have to be feeling good about themselves that, hey, we're playing better, we're trending in the right direction, and I just think the way that this team is, and they give up a lot of opportunities against, they have all season long, and they have in the playoffs too. At some point, Igor is going to literally just have to steal them a game. Like, for them to go on, the way this team's built, they're exciting. They're a good young group that's got a very bright future. But Igor's got to steal a game, and I would look for him to do that in this series.
Chatting with Mike Rupp here, our first time chatting with you, Mike, but one of your co-hosts on NHL Network, Adnan Virk, is a regular with us on the station. He does hits with our morning show. We talk to him every single Thursday on this program with me and Will, and we mentioned that you were coming on with us today, and we said, you know, give us some things about Mike Rupp that we might not know heading into our talk with him, and he said, great guy, really good storyteller, but he said two things in specific about Mike Rupp, and I need to know if you agree with these or not. The first one is, you never turn down a phone hit. He says you're always on your phone chatting with somebody about hockey, and we love that, obviously. But he said there's also a part of Mike Rupp that likes to go out to, I don't know, different wrestling or WWE events and might come to work the next day a little bit out of it, a little bit. And he might have used the words hungover. I don't remember specifically, but that's what Adnan said about you, okay?
Oh, that's fair. Hey, listen, I love working with Adnan. You know, we work together on NHL Network, obviously, but if you're a fly on the wall, we pretty much talk about everything but hockey. So it's amazing. I love that guy. He's referring to, all right, here's a story. I was a big WWE fan growing up, and I got drafted by the New York Islanders, and they're at the, you know, where Team USA has their national program in Ann Arbor,
yes,
Michigan. The New York Islanders wanted to send a lot of prospects, kind of bubble players, maybe role players on the Islanders, to all go and get on this summer program, right? So the season's over. We all go to Ann Arbor, and I have these tickets for Monday Night Raw in Cleveland because I'm from Cleveland. Ann Arbor is like 3.5-hour drive. I've had these tickets for months. I have to go and do to this pre-camp, and it's like the first day of pre-camp for the Islanders. I just got drafted. I'm 18. which probably shouldn't say that part about the story where we're going with it. But anyway, so I'm like going to my agent. I'm like, I got these tickets like months ago. I'm like, I want to go to Raw. And he's like, Rupper, like, are you kidding me? You just got drafted. Like, you're not going to wrestling. I'm like, I'll figure it out. I'll be there. I'll make sure I'll go to the workout, whatever. So I ended up going in, drove in from Ann Arbor. I had to check in the hotel before the camp the night before. The next day was Monday. I drove into Cleveland for Monday Night Raw, and I met my buddies. We went there. We got a hotel room, spent the night in Cleveland. Was not really feeling great by the end of the night. And I remember I was like, set my alarm. I had to go straight to Ann Arbor. I had to get to Ann Arbor at like 7 a.m. and go to a boxing gym where we were having our first workout. And so I drive. I end up leaving like at 4 in the morning. I get there. I go in. I haven't even changed from the night before. And I go to do this workout. And everyone's looking at me like I got two heads. And I'm like, what's the deal? Like, I'm here. I'm good. Like, whatever. And we start doing this boxing. I look down. I've got my Stone Cold Steve Austin sleeveless shirt on that says professional ass kicker on it. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, what a first impression in rookie camp coming here. Who's this kid? So we had to do some boxing and sparring. And they wanted me to square up with, Eric Cairns, who was a heavyweight in the NHL at that time. And I just didn't think I really set the right mood as a young prospect in the Islanders organization.
That may be why you were redrafted 3 years later, Mike. Is that
just a side note. Yeah, just a side note. Just a side note. I didn't end up signing there.
I can't imagine
one
why.
One small detail.
I can't imagine why, Mike. I just can't figure out why.
One small detail we may have left out of the story. A couple more with Mike Rupp. I know you got to run, Mike. Appreciate the time. But before we let you go, I mean, you look at these playoffs overall, and we talk about the best of the best, and certainly a team that's trying to build a bit of a dynasty themselves is the Lightning. Like, is there a bigger gut punch loss than what the Florida Panthers suffered last night? Like, you've now got to win four of the next five, and you were seconds away from going to overtime. I do find it hard. Again, they're not 3-0. It's not brink of elimination or anything like that, but that's an absolute gut punch for the Florida Panthers last night.
Oh, totally. Totally. And again, the theme of this conversation, the theme of these playoffs for me is the playoffs are a cruel, cruel place, because I think through two games, Florida has carried play, but they have not managed games appropriately. And Stanley Cup winning teams do that. And Tampa is that. They won the last 2 years. And at the end of the game, you've got to – in the NHL playoffs, I find, are always – sometimes you've just got to live the fight another day on plays. And if you're thinking about a play or how to react, or you're trying to make a read, you're already too late. And in that situation, like, Florida has to recognize there's 4 or 5 seconds left before overtime, and you've got to play it safe. And playing it safe is, I would almost rather on that play, if people can envision, if remember what the play was, the play went behind the net, puck went behind the net, Kucherov goes back there, and you've got two defensemen that go below the goal line, which leaves Ross Colton alone in front. I would almost rather leave. I get it, it's Nikita Kucherov, but I'd rather you err on the side of both defensemen stay in net front and just let the guy be back there. At least you're covering the dangerous area of the ice. So it just, that mental lapse, like, that could be everything. And that's what stinks, is you controlled that game. You were the better team for the most part of that game, and you gave it up right at the end. So now you're going to Tampa down 0-2. You lost your first two home games. So I don't know. I think it's tough to get past that mentally. You've got to you got to park it, though. You got to find a way, because you gave a team that's going to be very difficult to beat a free pass, and they made you pay.
Well, and that kind of leads me nicely into maybe the final one for you in terms of that Stanley Cup championship mentality and the teams that have been there and done that. Obviously, you played with some of the current greats in Pittsburgh those couple of years, but going all the way back to your time as a rookie, and, you know, you didn't play a lot in those playoffs, Mike, but, you know, the 2003 Stanley Cup team, that was their third straight cup championship. And just kind of going back to what you just talked about with Tampa, like, you can go back to that time in New Jersey and just the way those guys prepared and the fact that they had been there and done that the last 2 years. Like, you know, we haven't seen a three-peat champion probably since those New Jersey Devils, but You know, in today's NHL, what Tampa's doing is amazing. And just to have that experience, I'm sure, is kind of a lot of what you're talking about in terms of managing the game the right way. And, you know, if I asked you your favorite Stanley Cup playoff memory, it's probably that 2003 final for you. But, you know, if you go back to that time, that's probably the mentality that group had, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was very green. I was new to the NHL as a rookie. I didn't play in any of the playoff games until the finals, game 4, 5, 6, and 7. So for me to get kind of airdropped in there is an injury to Joe Nieuwendyk that gave me the opportunity to play. And I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect. It was sink or swim. It's survival mode. And to look around the room and to see some of the names that were in that room that have been through the grind, have already won 2 cups, that puts you at ease. And that's why having veteran experience, guys who've been through it, is so huge, because I felt then almost like I'm in good hands. You know, I don't have to be a difference maker here. I just got to do my job. And, you know, I find that that's what it's so important, to have guys in the room to keep it calm, keep it regular, keep it normal. Nothing's worse than going into a big game, and all of a sudden, if you're a team that likes to joke around, horse around during the game in intermissions, and all of a sudden it's quiet in the room. Like it makes everybody uneasy. And we had the guys, Kenny Danico, joking around, Marty Brodeur, talking to everybody in between periods, like acting like it's just another day at the office. So that's a big thing. Those guys were huge for me. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that I was able to be a part of that team.
Just before we let you go, I mean, you go back to those Pittsburgh days, and there's some conversations now about that team. Like, what's your gut tell you? And I certainly, you know, I don't know how much in contact you still are with guys like Malkin and Letang and Crosby, but, you know, in terms of that big three, all the talk about this might be the final ride, like, what's your gut tell you about the future in Pittsburgh, specifically with the two guys that have contracts have been expired in Malkin and Letang?
Yeah, the big three with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, I don't see there being any way that all three will be back. I mean, obviously Sid's going to be there. I don't see the other two guys being able to come back. Maybe you can bring one back. The one thing I do know, it seems like, and it feels like, this is the end of an era to some degree because of those names. But the thing I think we also look at, though, this does not have to be a tear down. This doesn't have to be we're going to stink and pick high for the next number of years. Sidney Crosby is as effective now as he's ever been. It may look a little different than it was back in, you know, 2009 or 2010 or whatever, when he was back in a different time in his career, but he influences games just as much as anybody else in the league. Jake Guentzel, there's actually not there's not that huge of a gap between Sidney Crosby and the way Jake Guentzel plays. And Jake Guentzel, he's a self-sufficient hockey player. He's not a product of Sid. He once was, but now he's his own driving force. You got Tristan Jarry, a very good goaltender. They've got pieces in place where if they make the tough decision, the one that might not be the fan favorite decision, and then they make shrewd moves, I think this team could be better next season. But I think it's unfortunately at the end of the road here for those big names.
Mike, we know you got to run. We appreciate the time. We didn't even crack open the Danbury Thrashers can of worms. There's so much we could get into with you, but thanks for the time today, and we'll do this again soon, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, anytime, guys.
There he is, Mike Rupp, NHL Network, former NHLer, and of course a Stanley Cup winner. Joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Thanks, Logan, for hooking that up. He was fantastic. And as I said there on the way out, maybe, you know, maybe more of a summertime conversation when we got a little bit more runway and not maybe so many things to chew on. But for those that maybe haven't seen it, that Netflix series, Untold Crimes and Penalties on the Danbury Thrashers, Mike played there in the lockout in 04-05. And, you know, in terms of Adnan's talk about great storyteller, I'm sure there's a few from that 04-05 short stint he spent in Danbury during the NHL lockout.
Yeah,
have you seen the documentary, Logan?
I have. Yes, I have. It's a really good one. It's great. I would love to dive into some of that, but just a great guy to chat with. Plenty of playoff experience, tough playoff experience too. Mm-hmm. Mike Rupp was one of the toughest of the tough when it comes to his time in the NHL, and really glad. Hope we can have him on again before the playoffs are done.
That was fantastic. Mike, again, joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We'll take a break, come back. Logan's got the floor with headlines. There's lots happening in the sports world away from the Flames and Oilers, but of course, that'll be in focus and leading off headlines. Hour 3 is next. Big Show rolls on. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.